The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning. This is not Battlefield Expressions. You're listening to Free Fire Radio. This is Rob Burrows from the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. And we used to have a program here on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. that was Battlefield Expressions, talking with our veterans about the different programs and their stories here in our community. I'm filling in for Carl and Linda this morning. And it's a privilege to be here once again to be able to talk on the air in our community about our veterans and to be able to have the opportunity to fill in. Once again, if you didn't know it, Carl and I served in Fallujah, Iraq at the same time in 2006, 2000 timeframe. And so, there is a lot of camaraderie there. Me being in the Navy Seabees doing convoys for the 1st Marine Expeditionary Force out of Fallujah.
And then being a Marine.
And then Carl being a Marine Corps officer. And so, being able to have that camaraderie back and forth, senior enlisted to officer. But to be able to work here in our community after coming back from 12,000 miles from the other side of the earth to Redding, California, and then running into Carl and Linda, and then becoming a part of the cohort here at the station to be able to talk to our community, but mainly to be able to talk about our veterans. One of my hosts this morning is Michelle Kwistoff, and she is the advocate for Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services and Silver Star Veterans and Widows through the Northern California Veterans Museum. Good morning.
Good morning, Chief.
We'll be talking a little bit later about some of our programs that we have coming up, especially our Christmas for the Troops program that'll be right around the corner here on December 9th. And she'll be giving a little bit more information. In fact, why don't you talk about that real quick while we have the opportunity?
So we're going to be at the Anderson Veterans Event Center at 3210 West Center Street in Anderson. That's the VFW hall down there. We're going to be packaging boxes. We're going to be shipping approximately 250 boxes to our deployed military personnel overseas. We'll have a good night packing the boxes, listening to Christmas music, and having some Christmas cards done. We'll also have a nice little dinner. And the price of the admission helps us to ship the boxes. It only pays for about a half of a box, but each one counts. So we're just going to keep working on it until we get there. We have a list of items that is posted on our Facebook page. If you go to facebook.com/piledriver13, that's PILEDRIVER13. And it has the list for the items that we're looking for, as well as the event time. It's going to be at 6 o'clock on December the 9th at the VFW Event Center in Anderson. That's the big hall down there. And it's going to be a great time. We're just looking for people to come in, have a good visit with us. Last year, you guys were so fast, we ended up doing it in about an hour and a half. And we were completely shocked. We got over 300 boxes out in that amount of time. So it does go quick, but, you know, it's a lot of fun. We ship overseas candies and toiletries and books and games and
socks
and hats and whatever you can think of, you know, anything that'll fit in a medium flat rate box. Each one of the boxes costs about $20 to ship it. So we have to raise the money in order to be able to get that shipping cost covered. 250 boxes ends up being about $9,000.
No, it's actually about $5,000. But last year, because we did so many, it was $9,000 last year.
Yeah, we did way more last year.
Just to ship the boxes.
Right. And then we'll also be sending another round out in January because we have some people who rotate back home after Christmas and some people go back out. So we usually end up doing two rounds of shipping the boxes, and it ends up being pretty close to between 250 and 500. We've done as many as 654 boxes before. And believe me, that was very pricey.
Well, we really want to invite you to be a part of the program. If you're a business in the community and you're looking for an opportunity to make a difference and to make a donation. We're constantly looking for dollar donations to help ship these boxes. Money in, money out. Nobody gets paid in this program. This is strictly a labor of love. Over since 2008, since we returned from Iraq, we've shipped between 10 and 12,000 boxes overseas. And so that's a lot of making a difference to individuals serving all around the world. I mean, we have sent to just about every country overseas, throughout the Mediterranean, the Middle East, through the Atlantic.
Last year they went to Greenland and they went to Australia, Korea, Spain, Korea.
And so this is when
Africa.
We're a small community that does great big things, and we don't just do them here, we do them all around the world. But we can't do those items and things without your support. So we would definitely like to invite you, if you don't donate food items or things, if you could make a check out for $20 or $50 to ship a box or a couple of boxes. Every one of those boxes is a letter from home that says, thank you for your service. We appreciate you. And it's a major morale builder, a major morale booster. And so when you're serving away from home for a long period of time, especially through the holidays, sometimes that's the toughest time of the year you're serving. And especially if you don't get a lot of things from your own family. When we ship to one individual, we ship about 10 to 15 boxes to that individual. And they serve as Santa Claus in their unit, whether they're out in the ocean, they're out in the desert someplace, or wherever they may be. They share those with the individuals in their unit, and it becomes a team effort of camaraderie and thanks at Christmas time. And so that's one of the reasons that this program is so important. It seems like right now with this administration and things that are going on, our military is kind of upside down and backwards, and they're not getting the treatment within the services that they've gotten in the past when I've served and when others have served. And so it's so important for us as individuals to be able to reach out and say, hey, you're serving in the military right now. We appreciate your sacrifice. We appreciate what you're doing for our country and for our community. And this is one way for us to personally reach out and say thank you.
And we also are accepting the nominations for people's names. So if you have a family member or you know a service person who is deployed currently or will be at Christmas time, go ahead and message us on the Facebook page, and we will be happy to send them a few boxes for care packages going overseas, or even if they're still deployed in the States, you know, some of them aren't going to be home. So.
Well, and sometimes those APO and FPO addresses, we don't want them on Facebook. So I'm going to give you my personal cell phone. I want you to text me personally or call me personally, because we want to make sure we safeguard those addresses and make sure that they're secure.
Right.
We're very careful about making sure that those addresses are not just out there. So my cell phone number is 530-510-8210. That's 530-510-8210. And that is the best way to get us a secure address so that we can ship those addresses and they go to those individuals without any security issues or anything along that line.
And they can send it to me, too. My number's on the flyer on the Facebook page as well. They can text me. It's 530-859-3176. And, again, it's 530-859-3176. And we'll accept the nominations for the names. And we try to ship them at least, like you said, 10 to 12 boxes, and then that way everybody gets a little something in their unit.
And we just did a great big Thanksgiving push also for our veterans, our senior veterans, and veterans that are in need here in our community. And we were able to put out about 45 meals for veterans widows, Silver Star Widows and Veterans Program, with some of our senior veterans also. And then also as we were moving forward, we went ahead and took care of about 25 to 30 veterans from the veterans home or clinic. Who are in need through the community health program there. And they work with those veterans that are in need and are lower income and are looking for support. So we are a great opportunity for us to be able to reach out. And they're not just older veterans, they're younger veterans still that are coming back from active duty, that are dealing with PTSD, still coming back from Afghanistan. We still have members in Iraq. And so we'll be doing the same thing at Christmas. We'll be doing groceries. We'll be doing hams and turkeys. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. And so as we get ready to come back from our break, we're going to have our guest this morning is going to be Jess Hoops, who's the commander for Post 197 American Legion, and also Dave Cockrell, who is the adjutant for Post 197. And we'll be talking about some issues going on here in our community and things that are taking place. So you're listening to Free Fire Radio. We'll be right back.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
It's fall, y'all, and Black Bear Diner wants to make sure you lean into pumpkin spice season. Sip on a pumpkin cold brew made with our deliciously smooth and full-bodied coffee blend to spice up an afternoon or top off your next dinner with a slice of creamy pumpkin cheesecake. Start your day with pumpkin as well. Ask for pumpkin spice in your ever-popular sweet cream pancakes. We'll drizzle on some pumpkin spice sauce, add a dollop of whipped cream, and call it breakfast. Visit Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive.
Black Bear Diner.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Castabeam is happy to announce that we have finally added 20 gigabits of new bandwidth services for our North State customers. Hi folks, this is Andy Main from Castabeam Internet, bringing you news about our upgraded internet services. It took some time, but these new higher speeds mean you can work, study, and stream from home without the problems of slow internet. And these redundant services are faster, more reliable, and fulfilling our promise to deliver better internet every day to you. And right now, new customers get installed for free. That's right, free installation services mean you can try it for free, and if you're not satisfied, you don't pay. That's a savings of over $700 compared to some of our competition's startup costs. And there's no data caps or long-term contracts. All of our services come with a 14-day money-back guarantee. Call Shastabeam today and ask for our free installation services. This is Andy Main thanking you for your business, and don't worry, we'll keep the internet on for you.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Many accidents are caused by worn wiper blades. Let's face it, it's just uncomfortable when you're driving in the rain, snow, fog, and everything else in between with worn wiper blades. At Premier Oil Change, when you buy one wiper blade, you get the second blade free. Yes, now through January 7th, you buy one wiper blade and get the second one free for as little as $15.99. At Premier Oil Change, we make maintaining your car easy. There's no need for an appointment, and you don't drop your car off or wait. Just pull in, enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Reading on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. Also in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Home of the friendly oil change.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
Tell the fans, put your name at the top.
Good morning. You're listening to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 96.5. I'm your host this morning, Rob Burrows from the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. 23 years in the Navy Seabees, 2 combat tours in Iraq. And it's a great privilege to be able to be here this morning and to fill in for Carl and Linda and to be able to talk some of our veterans and some of the programs we have going on here in our community. Our guest we'd like to talk to right away is Jess Hoops, who's the commander for Post 197 American Legion. And he's United States Navy Vietnam veteran and Korea veteran also. So good morning, Jess.
How are you doing, Rob?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I know you've got some really important things to share with us this morning. Let's go ahead and get right to it.
Back on October 18th, I had someone from the Korean War Veterans Group give us a heads up that the county was trying to change our veteran service officer from a department head to a management position rather than continue on to have, you know, a supervisor that we could look to for help. We went to that meeting. We voiced our objections to that happening, and so they had a town hall on the 19th of November. I went to that meeting. I come away very unsatisfied with the answers that I got, and I've been delving into it since. It seems like if they do that, then we lose our voice with the board, and it is reverted to the CEO's office rather than having an independent person talking for us. And it allows them discretion on the budget. There's no negotiation about a budget for the office. So we could end up having a shortfall for the office. That's the two things that I came away with that meeting. And then I started hearing rumblings about misuse of process, misuse of funds, misuse of complaints from employees about some of the service officers. And I looked into part of it, and it's quite true, a lot of it. There has been a overwhelming amount of complaints, sexual misconduct, all kinds of things. And now it's gotten to the point where, in my estimation, nobody wants to work for Shasta County.
Now, there was also some talk or information concerning misappropriation of funding also.
Right, yes.
So what are some of the supportive documents or information that's behind that?
I tried to get that from the county, and I'm told that's a personnel matter.
So they just skirted the position.
Skirted. Yeah, that's what they're trying to do now, is because nobody wants to come up. I called San Bernardino and, you know, a bunch of other counties yesterday trying to find out if qualified people would be interested. I got told nobody wants to work here. The atmosphere is so derogatory, you know, ripe with complaint, that nobody wants to work.
Who is the county supervisor that's in charge of the Veterans Service Office?
Troy is the one.
Well, he's a temporary supervisor, but...
Well, he works in the Veterans Service Office.
Right.
But who is the county supervisor that oversees...
That would be Tim.
I'm trying to think. He's the CEO.
No. Tim is the county supervisor in District 1.
Yes, but they go through the CEO.
Right. They have to. Everybody has to go through the CEO's office.
So the entire Board of Supervisors are in charge of the Veterans Service Office?
Yes.
In one manner or another?
Yes.
And American Legion or some of the other organizations aren't able to get a solid answer from these Board of Supervisors?
Well, their own staff report on the 18th was deficient any information on this. They got waylaid the same as we did. The item on the agenda and the staff report mentioned nothing about the change from being a department head to being a manager, they tried to slide it under the table.
So what are some of the objectives that you want to bring to the table? Because I know we're short on time here. I want to
all
make
right.
sure we
Here's
get those
on
the
table. Here's what I'd like
table.
To see happen. Number one, they need to table this until we've had a sufficient time to get some answers. Number two, they need to form a advisory committee to see if we can work through HR and get some of these complaint misappropriations taken care of.
So we need to get hard documents and make sure that we
right.
know what's going on as we move forward.
We have no idea. We can't get any documents. I asked for, at the meeting, I asked for a cost-benefit analysis from Pat, the CEO. I haven't heard a word.
So you have to be, the squeaky wheel, or you're not going to even get grease. I mean, it's just, if that's
well,
how it
I
is.
Understand that.
And that's the way it seems to be with the county and other areas also that we've had to deal with our own organization.
Right.
So we have an organization, Shasta County Veterans Affiliate Council, CVAC.
Right.
And so I think that might be something that would be good to be brought up.
Now, we did bring it up last meeting, and Debbie Johnson brought it to a vote, and we voted not to support it, didn't we, Dave?
That's correct.
So I'm talking about putting your committee together to come up with more hard documents.
Right.
Because it takes the voice of all of our veterans in the community to come together and then go back to the county. Because that's what it's going to take from every one of our organizations, our state
right.
and local organizations, together as a group with a solid voice to be able to approach the county and say, hey, we need these answers, we need the truth, and we need to move forward for our veterans,
getting,
all
we're
of our
not
veterans.
Getting none of it. I mean, they're using a move as a smokescreen to cover up what they're trying to do. It was first proposed as a move of the county veteran service office across the street to the Black Bear Diner office, because it was supposedly, the office we have now was supposedly not ADA compliant. Well, I know that's a lie because I was part of the people that was making sure of it.
At the very beginning.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so the offices are ADA compliant. The bathroom is ADA compliant. The hallway is ADA compliant. So who are they trying to smokescreen?
It's at the discretion of the county.
Right.
Or the DA's office.
Well, I don't want to get into the DA's office too much. We can talk all day. But the thing that I'm trying to do now is head off the vote before the first of the year to make this all happen.
So if we have people in the community, if we have veterans in the community that want more information from the American Legion on how to get a hold of you and find out what's going on so they can help support this program
yeah.
or to help be part of the voice, because we need to have voices, solid
right.
voice, how would they be able to get a hold of you?
Well, they can get a hold of me through my cell phone.
Okay. Would you give us that number?
I'd like not to, but I will.
Okay. Well, they can call the museum, and we'll go ahead and get the information to you that way.
That'd be fine.
Okay. So the museum phone number is 530-378-2280. That's 378-2280, and we will be an avenue to
right.
get information to you,
well,
because
the
veterans need to have their voices heard.
And the problem that we have is that employees within are using the complaint system as a stepping stone for upward mobility. And we can't allow that.
Right. No, I agree.
I mean, they either do their job or they go home.
Right. Well,
plain and simple.
And that's something we've always seen in government that we'll have to work with and move along
right.
with.
And so, when you get 10 complaints of sexual harassment in a month from the same individual, and yet nothing HR is doing about it, so the individual throws up their hand and walks away because you've tainted their career, you've tainted their reputation, you know, and they just, hey, I'm done.
And we can't let that be swept under the carpet.
No. And that's what's happening. That has what's happening since, I don't know, back when all this mess started back in 2011?
Jess, we're going to take our break, and then we're going to come back after the sports,
okay.
and we'll continue this conversation then.
All
You're
right.
listening to KCNR 96.5 Talk Radio.
Shasta College is now offering 2 years of free tuition for full-time students. Spring semester begins January 17th. Advance your career, learn a new skill, or get transfer ready. 8-week online or in-person classes available. Enroll at shastacollege.edu.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Axiom Repertory Theater wants to thank the Rancheria for their generous grant to help support the arts and our theater in the community. Thank you so much for being a wonderful partner.
Hey, from all of us at Riddick Sports Club, we want to thank Redding Rancheria for all that you guys do for the community and for helping us out. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, an emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Many accidents are caused by worn wiper blades. Let's face it, it's just uncomfortable when you're driving in the rain, snow, fog, and everything else in between with worn wiper blades. At Premier Oil Change, when you buy one wiper blade, you get the second blade free. Yes, now through January 7th, you buy one wiper blade and get the second one free for as little as $15.99. At Premier Oil Change, we make maintaining your car easy. There's no need for an appointment, and you don't drop your car off or wait. Just pull in, enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. Also in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Home of the friendly oil change.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
From our family at Market Street Blade and Barrel, thank you, Redding Rancheria, for all you do. You guys rock the community. Thanks again. See you soon.
From the family of Trendy, we want to thank Redding Rancheria for all you have done for the businesses of the community of Redding. Thank you very much, and God bless you.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Shasta College is now offering 2 years of free tuition for full-time students. Spring semester begins January 17th. Advance your career, learn a new skill, or get transfer ready. 8-week online or in-person classes available. Enroll at shastacollege.edu.
Welcome to the 530 Blitz. This is Ethan Hansen, and usually we do the show on Fridays, but we're pushing it up to Wednesday this week, and we're taking a bit of a different turn as we go from fall sports into winter, but let's just talk about what is on everybody's mind. You know, it was a historic day in U.S. American sports in the World Cup. The U.S. facing elimination in pool play, needing to win, and needing to play an adversary in Iran, which we understand, you know, what's happening in the world. And for Christian Pulisic to come out and to score in the 39th minute to ultimately win that game, 1-0. And here to break it down for us and joining me in studio is my special guest, is Gary Weaver, Armendariz. He is an assistant men's soccer coach for Simpson University, a former Team USA player as well, who played on the regional scene, played in Boston, played in various venues throughout the country. So before we get into your story, because you have a very interesting story, but let's just talk about the game first. and the significance of what happened yesterday. How big was yesterday's win for your sport, for the U.S. soccer movement moving forward after Pulisic scored?
Oh, it was huge. It was a huge match, huge game. There's a lot going on outside of just the game itself, but it was huge for us. It was a huge win. I'm glad that the boys came out and they represented us well. They played hard. They showed their talent. They showed their grit, and they came out on top, and they represented us well, and we're on to the next level, the next match, and we're looking to keep this momentum going for sure.
And for you, let's just talk about your background, because you're originally from Stockton, California. You were one of the top youth soccer players when you were 14, 15 years old. Took a bit of a career change as far as your sports career is concerned, but you were still at that level and on the cusp of making a Team USA soccer team. So as far as the competition level, this organization has done to really expand itself and to finally have had that crystallized moment to now get to that point where, you know what, now it's anybody's game. Competition level, though, for you growing up?
It's always been continuously growing. When I was growing up, there's still the competition was high. We know what it takes to get to that level. So there's a lot of training that goes into it. When you're in that program from the start, they put you in, you know, classes where they teach you to deal with the media. They show you how to watch film. You're playing against top competition, from not only just your region, but from state to state. You're traveling through the country, playing against the East regional team, the Midwest regional team. So you're playing against top competition, but these guys become your friends because you're all competing for one common goal. That common goal is to potentially make the national team and represent your country. So that's what the competition should be all about, just improving ourselves and improving the next guy next to us.
As a player, what is it like to put on that red, white, and blue and to, you know, be a representation of, you know, what, you know, sort of, what that flag stands for and, you know, the history that comes with being a U.S. American athlete?
Oh, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. That's one of my biggest, and proudest memories that I have is being able to wear that equipment, not just in a match, but, when you travel all in their gear. You travel in the polo, you wear the training gear. Like, everything about it is just something special. Everything is heightened, when you're playing. It's such a privilege. It brings me so much joy and passion watching these games. I feel like it takes, 10 years off my life, each game just cause I'm so nervous and anxious about it. But, yeah, there's nothing like it. It's hard to explain. It's definitely something that I'm very proud of.
And it's so weird to think about because, I mean, you and me, we're thousands of miles away from Qatar. You know, we're sitting at home. We're watching this game from our, you know, for me, it was from the post office. From you, it was probably from your living room. But for the players themselves, I mean, they were in Qatar. That place sounded like it was pro Iran. It was a road environment. So how do you mentally prepare yourself for that when you realize that most of the stadium is against you? Of course, you have the U.S. loyal supporters that are there, but it's simple geography at this point. How do you prepare for that crowd and to maintain your edge and to maintain your sensibility of yourself when preparing for a game like that?
You're just focused on the task at hand. I've heard some of the guys say in the interview since the game yesterday that it's for each other. So they go in with the game plan, they train, and then once they're there in that moment, it's just full speed ahead. You're just focused on your task and doing what you have to do and knowing that that your teammate and your brother is doing the same thing, and it's for the common goal. And then in the World Cup, it's heightened because it's for your country. So it's just super, 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 super intense, and it brings out the best in these players. And we have a lot of these young players today on our national team that are doing well, and they're representing us really well.
Now, the game of soccer has been described as the ultimate chess match. You know, you're waiting, you're picking your opportunities. You know, it seems like, you know, only, you know, 10 years ago, I was watching, you know, Josie Altidore and Clint Dempsey and Landon Donovan, of course. And even though those guys were very, very good soccer players, it almost felt like, you know, even in the last World Cup back when the U.S. competed in 2014, didn't qualify in 2018, it was almost like, you know, we were using our athleticism versus the other country's athleticism. Do you feel that we've seen a tactical growth within the last 8 years to where we're seeing, you know, a much more steady progression from the defense to the midfield and then to the forward and seeing the way that the ball moves, do you think?
Definitely. And if you just watch the highlights from how we scored our first goal yesterday in the match, we got the ball in transition and we connected passes for a one-touch finish. And I think that's due to, you know, the growth of soccer in this nation. The players that are playing on the team now, they have experience playing in other countries and top leagues in the world. So that brings a different flavor and a different style of play as well. And then you sprinkle in, you know, the MLS players too. So it's just a combination of all things and how much the sport has actually grown and going to continue to grow in the future.
From a player's perspective, as, you know, soccer is continuing to find its way into U.S. culture, which it has. It's already a mainstream sport. But as far as, you know, getting somebody to sit down and watch, you know, a full 90-minute game, knowing that it could be just like England, where it's a 0-0 tie, where you're on that roller coaster and nobody ends up scoring, or you're up 1-0, and then Gareth Bale comes in the 81st minute, ties it up, 1-1, and you're sort of left kind of with this, sort of feeling. But do you feel that, you know, maybe more Americans are now starting to buy into watching the game itself and really understanding the nuances and truly what makes, you know, maybe this game of ebbs and flows so unique, you think, compared to maybe basketball or football or some of the other sports?
Definitely. It's been growing. It's gonna continue to grow. And with that, there's going to be more and more, viewers. So, it's something that it's great to see, happening. And, I look forward for it to continue to grow. There's the next World Cup is going to be here in the U.S. and we got this great group of young guys. They're actually the second youngest team in the World Cup right now. So this group of guys is going to be here for a while. So it's going to continue to grow, and I look forward to watching it.
We've got 2 minutes left, so let's just get into some Shasta County High School sports real quickly. Yesterday was the opening game for many of the boys and girls basketball teams. The game I was at, Enterprise versus Fall River. Enterprise won its first game 73-27. Sophomore Wes Ramirez led the Hornets with 18 points, and sophomore Elijah Collins, he is a sophomore transfer from Mississippi, got the start after being what looked to be he was going to be playing at junior varsity, came in and scored 14 points. Two very talented young players, a very deep Enterprise squad. And then for Fall River, getting the win for the girls, beating Enterprise 57-39. Sydney Cassidy leading the way with 22 points. We'll take a small break here on KCNR. Thanks for joining me, Gary. This has been the 530 Blitz.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency, when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
It's time to put a stop to boring Christmases, gift giving, and mass-produced items, and take a trip to Memory Lane. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage makes gift giving easy. We have something for everyone. Antique carnival glass, superhero collectibles, beautiful jewelry, vintage clothing, and best of all, it's all in one location. You don't have to break the budget this holiday season to give somebody something they'll cherish. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center.
Wind River Resort and Casino is thankful for all our guests and would like you to come down and play our Thankful Tuesday $68,000 Swipe to Win promotion. Swipe daily to win free slot play and prizes. Earn four times the entries on Sundays and Mondays. Weekly drawings Tuesdays in October and November from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Drawings every half hour. Winners will pick three game pieces off the game board for free slot play. And the highest winner every half hour will win $1,000 cash. All the details are at WinRiver.com. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Hello, friends. This is RC with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Padron 1926 Series Number 9. 5 1/4 inches by 56 ring gauge. This is, I will admit, a personal favorite. A Nicaraguan Puro, richer, rounder, and more complex experience with flavors of coffee, nuts, and a hint of black cherry. Perfectly balanced with a finish that lasts for days. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
This holiday season, join the all-new tradition of lights and festivities for the entire family at Reading Garden of Lights. Presented by Mercy Medical Center Reading. Open now through January 8th at Turtle Bay's McConnell Botanical Gardens at the Sundial Bridge in Reading, California. Explore over 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens featuring over 1 million lights, plus holiday-themed food, drinks, music, and so much more. Reading Garden of Lights at Turtle Bay. Buy tickets now at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back to the 5-3-0 Blitz, and again, joining me in studio is Simpson men's soccer assistant coach, Gary Weaver Armendariz. And so we're not just here to talk about soccer, but we're here to talk about Gary and his backstory. He's got a pretty interesting backstory. He was a member of the Team USA regional scene when he was 14, 15 years old, but you know, got a little bit burnt out and decided that he was going to play football, had a successful football career in his hometown of Stockton, California, and then was going to originally take a football scholarship before transitioning back to soccer. So let's talk about that, Gary, about your life, you know, what you were going through when you were 14, 15 years old. You've been playing soccer your whole youth life, and then what happened?
My favorite athlete of all time is my dad. And my dad was a football player, so I always wanted to play football. I just wasn't allowed until I was in high school. So, once that time came and I was in high school and I had the opportunity to play football, that's what I chose to do. I'd been playing soccer, like you said, since I was 5 years old. So it was a lot. It wasn't just playing, you know, just in the summer or in the fall. It was literally all year round. So, that part of it did get a little tiring, got a little burnt out. I spent all my summer vacations, my winter holidays away in other states, away from my family. So I wanted to be closer to my family, and that contributed to staying home and playing high school football as well.
What position did you play?
I was a defensive back, and I was a wing back.
Oh, nice. So you had an opportunity to go play college football. You said Fort Wayne University in Indiana?
Wayne State.
Or Wayne State, excuse me.
Wayne State in Nebraska. University. Yeah, I was a verbal commit there, and the day before signing day, I spoke to the coach and pretty much told him I had a change of heart. That was something I did on my own. I didn't talk to my parents about that before that conversation. I just felt that it wasn't for me. I wanted to go back to playing soccer, and the plan was to go to a local junior college because I hadn't played soccer in 3 years. But an opportunity came up at Simpson. They offered me a scholarship, and the rest is history.
Wow, so you weren't even playing intermittently. You were like, I'm going to be a football player. Soccer's done. I'm a football player now. I'm a running back. And what high school did you go to?
I went to Lincoln High School of Stockton, California.
Nice. So, and you just had this mindset of, I'm going to go play football. And, you know, but what made you decide all of a sudden, last second, that, you know, the game of soccer started to call back to you, you think?
It's just something that is just natural to me. I've done it since I was 5 years old. And I think that time away really made me realize that, you know, that's my sport. And then coming back to Simpson, I really fell back in love with the game. My passion was even higher than it was before. And, I owe a lot to Simpson for that, because they gave me a chance. They offered me a scholarship to play, and it all worked out. So the soccer program there and that university means a lot to me for that.
I mean, 3 years is a long time. I mean, how does one just simply – I mean, I feel like I'm quoting Game of Thrones here, or I don't know, one of the shows. How does one simply – oh, Lord of the Rings, that's what I was quoting. How does one simply get back from playing football to then – playing soccer after 3 years having not playing at all, like cold turkey?
It was a long summer. I put in a lot of work by myself. I went for runs. I played with the ball. I played pickup whenever I could. It was a long summer, just trying to get better, trying to perfect my craft, and that's what contributed to me falling back in love with the game, is just working on the fundamentals and trying to get better. But it's just, like I said, it's something that I started doing when I was five, so it's naturally there. It was just a matter of putting in the work to get those skills back. And then once I started playing here at Simpson, it was every day, 24/7. So that helped me get things back too.
You're now 35 years old, right? 35 years old?
Correct.
And you're now a soccer coach at Simpson University, the university that gave you your second chance or your second option to go and play college sports. And burnout is a real thing. It can be exhausting when you've done the same thing over and over. And I've had family members, my own younger brother, you know, maybe go through stints of that. So as a coach, how do you balance that and make sure that, you know, these young athletes that you're coaching, they're staying mentally and emotionally fresh?
They just need time, and they need space sometimes just to do their own thing. If they need to take a week off or a summer off, like, I always encourage to do that. I mean, you still want to put in time to work and to practice, but it's important to have time and space, because burnout is real, and I've experienced it firsthand. So it's important to have time and space to have other things going for you. I know for me, like, I have a 7-year-old son, and he plays soccer, but I want to get him into other sports too, so he's not burnt out doing one thing. So it's just a matter of just having time and space and doing other things and finding what your craft is. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer. Sometimes, you know, hey, I want to be a soccer player, and that's what it is. You start when you're five and you become a professional soccer player. It's just different for some people. So time and space is definitely important.
And again, you know, but as a college athlete, though, you take that time off. It's not certain whether you take that time off. Maybe you take a year off, whether or not that spot that you left is going to be back open to you. So there's always that risk. So what do you tell the athletes who are maybe out there who might be feeling that way, but knowing that there's, you know, maybe some risk that is associated with taking that time, knowing that you still, as an organization, as a team, have a spot to fill that's left open and, you know, there's somebody else that could come along and take that spot. There's always that risk.
There's always that risk. And as long as that's known to them from day one, then it's up to them to make that decision, when it comes to them. But at the end of the day, it all relies on yourself. So, the amount of work that you put in and the amount of faith that you have in your ability goes a long way. And, we try to do that we try to create that atmosphere at Cincinnati University at our team. We try to bring in guys that can all play and push each other to be better, because that's how the team grows and the team gets better. And in my 3 years here with the program, we've continuously saw that these last 3 years. And I think that's why we've made the postseason the last 3 years.
Yeah, and it's been a very good last couple of years, not just for the men's team that has been historically been one of the better Simpson University programs, but for the women's team too. I mean, they've experienced growth. I mean, you know, heck, 4 to 5 years ago, they were struggling even to field a team. And now you got, you know, locals like Caroline Forsyth who are, you know, back in the mix and playing and, you know, getting to play in that competitive environment that, you know, that this university is hoping to achieve now and in the near future.
Yeah, definitely. For all the programs to have a good sports program, it's good to see. We all support each other. The athletes support each other, and it's all about recruiting and who you bring in. Like we're all on the same page. We want to bring in athletes that are going to help us push to get to that next level, and that are also good kids. These kids are going to come here and get their degrees, and then graduate and become you know, good leaders, good employees, and good parents. So. That's what our goals are as a program, and we hope that we continue to get better and improve and be a program that Reading could be proud of.
There's a pending football team that's about to come here, and you know, you might have some college eligibility left if you want to go play football. You're probably not going to do that though at 35 years old though.
Too old.
But I mean, this is a university that is really trying to, you know, raise itself for that growth to continue though. What do you think is going to be the key as far as maintaining that growth and, you know, to see that, you know, when a football team does come here that it's going to be, successful in sustaining itself?
I think the biggest thing for me is the local community generating local support, getting these, local athletes in our programs. And just continuing to build this city of Reading. It's something that the city can be proud of, is building these programs, these sports programs, where we're successful and then we're graduating these kids and they're contributing positively to the community of Reading. So I think just getting the community on board and providing something that they can be proud of goes a long way.
We have 2 minutes left, so we'll just do another breakdown, and we have the Harlan Carter boys basketball tournament this week. Thursday, UPrep is going to be playing Placer. That tip off starts at 4 p.m. Enterprise plays Red Bluff at 5:30, and then Foothill will play Armijo at 7 p.m. Those games will be at Foothill High School starting this Thursday. Just wanted to again thank you to Gary Weaver Armendariz for joining me on the 530 Blitz. This has been the 530 Blitz with Ethan Hansen. Thank you so much for the people in the studio, and we want to wish you all a very, very happy and warm winter holidays.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour at townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. China's ruling Communist Party has vowed to, in its words, resolutely crack down on infiltration and sabotage activities from hostile forces.
The Central Political and Legal Affairs Commission statement released late yesterday after the largest street demonstration in decades by citizens fed up with those strict antivirus restrictions. Researchers are reacting with guarded jubilation now to results that show an experimental Alzheimer's drug slowing the rate of mental decline. Maria Carrillo with the Alzheimer's Association says this is one part of a multi-pronged approach.
And there are more causes than just amyloid plaques. So anti-tau therapies, anti-inflammation therapies, so many other things have to be explored and will absolutely be required to be used together to really make a dent in this disease in the near future.
The Food and Drug Administration is expected to decide whether to approve the drug by early January. The head of the group Oath Keepers has been found guilty of charges connected to the January 6th riot.
A Washington, D.C. jury convicted Oath Keepers founder Stuart Rhodes of seditious conspiracy for a violent plot to overturn President Joe Biden's election. Rhodes was acquitted on two other conspiracy charges. Defense attorney Ed Tarpley.
We're grateful for the not guilty verdicts that were received. We're disappointed in the guilty verdict.
Seditious conspiracy calls for up to 20 years behind bars. An appeal will be filed. Norman Hall, Washington.
Today is a day you can wave goodbye to the Atlantic hurricane season.
Wrapping up what the National Hurricane Center calls a near-average season. The season began without much fanfare, but picked up in September, a month that saw 14 named storms. The worst storm of the season was Hurricane Ian, a storm that slammed into southwest Florida as a deadly Category 4. Tayshia Stevens reporting.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Nick, what are you doing?
Well, Adam, Thanksgiving is over, so it's officially time for the holidays.
And it's time for our Legacy Box Cyber Monday sale, which means you can save up to 65% when you digitize your home movies and pictures. What an incredible reason to join the millions of people who've entrusted Legacy Box to safeguard their recorded memories.
Plus, Legacy Box is the best gift for you or a family member. It's what Better Homes and Gardens called the most sentimental gift to make this holiday season special.
And what Reader's Digest called a genius product.
That's because Legacy Box is simple and safe. Just fill and send, and you'll get your new digital copies of your treasured tapes, film reels, and photos.
So turn on the Christmas music and make sure to visit LegacyBox.com and shop our Cyber Monday sale to take an unreal 65% off.
Our Cyber Monday sale is going on now at LegacyBox.com/LBox. That's LegacyBox.com to take 65% off. Visit LegacyBox.com/LBox.
Railroad unions say they don't like President Biden's call for Congress to intervene in their contract dispute.
Railroad unions say this undercuts their efforts to address workers' quality of life concerns. But businesses stress that this is crucial to avoid a strike next week that would devastate the economy. President Biden and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said that lawmakers will be asked to vote Wednesday to impose the terms of the deals the 12 unions agreed to before an original strike deadline in September, even though four of those unions representing more than half for the 115,000 rail workers rejected them. Eight other unions ratified the five-year deals that include 24% raises and $5,000 in bonuses. I'm Bill Alexander in Washington.
Low-cost fashion brand H&M says it will be reducing its global workforce by about 1,500 positions. It's all part of a plan to reduce costs and further improve efficiency. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Right at a time when Democrats are hoping to pass new assault weapons restrictions, a new study says gun deaths in the U.S. hit the highest levels in decades, but assault weapons had very little to do with that.
The research published by JAMA Network Open shows gun-related homicide and suicide rates both rose 8% last year, each hitting levels last seen in the early 1990s. The rate among women is growing faster than that of men. Among black women, the rate of firearm-related homicides more than tripled since 2010. Experts say reasons for the increase in gun deaths could include disruption of people's work and personal lives during the pandemic, higher gun sales, stress, and mental health issues. The researchers counted more than 1.1 million gun deaths over 32 years, about the same as the number of American deaths from the coronavirus in the last 3 years. I'm Ed Donahue.
More on these stories at townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I'll be home.
Christmas. You can plan on me. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents on the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams. I'll be home for Christmas.
Good morning. You're listening to Free Fire Radio. Rob Burrows here from the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. And I just thinking back to Iraq in 2006, Christmas of 2006, and we had just come back in from doing convoys, and this song was playing. Oh, wow. You know, when you're gone from home during the holidays, there's such a magnitude of emotions and feelings. That's why our Christmas for the Troops program is so important. Yeah. And, you know, my mom and dad were World War II veterans. So this was something that was played during World War II for all of our military personnel. And so it just brings the emotions and it brings the feeling back. And we are talking with Charlotte Bailey this morning, who is the chairman for the Holiday Wreaths for Heroes. And we are going to be doing a wreaths program out at the Veterans Cemetery at IGO. And the date for that is going to be Saturday, December 17th, which is coming up right around the corner. It starts at noon, and it'll be out there. Good morning, Charlotte.
Good morning, Rob. Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy, happy, happy to be here.
Well, I'm glad that you're here. You always have so much to be able to bring to the table. Yeah. And this is so important because this is when you place the wreaths out there on the headstones, mm-hmm. this is for the families. The families come out, and that's that momentary reunion of remembering that veteran.
Yes, and the honor and the privilege of being able to do that. We are so thankful for our cemetery out there. This is our pretty much local cemetery. And Holiday Wreaths for Heroes is our program that we get to honor our veterans, our heroes, on the 17th of December at noon. We have a small program, not very long, and then we get the privilege of putting a wreath on each grave. We say the name of the veteran out loud as we place that wreath and thank them so much for their service.
You know, when their name is spoken like that, they are not forgotten.
That's right.
And so when we speak that name, the power of saying that name out loud is so important, not only for remembering that person, but for the soul of the individual who's placing that wreath.
Absolutely. There's a feeling that just wells up inside you, which you know well.
I do.
And you just can't get that feeling everywhere.
No, you certainly can't.
No.
And these people that are buried at IGO, these heroes, men and women, mm-hmm. we know them. Yeah. These are men and women from our community that we've worked with through the years, we've talked mm-hmm. with, that have been leaders in our community, who have been part of our veterans programs and part of our community programs, mm-hmm. and they are buried there. So when I go out there, it's like walking among friends.
Yes.
It's like walking among heroes, especially through the museum, because we know the history of those individuals. We know where they served during World War II or Korea or Vietnam or Desert Storm or, you know, wherever at that time, Iraq and Afghanistan, also we have veterans out there. And many of these people I've shaken hands with and talked to face-to-face and shared with them through our different veterans programs and also through the Veterans Museum. And then the family members that come back out. And this is another part of that healing process for our family members who come out and place that wreath and remember their loved one.
Yes, yes.
Now, in 2008, we started that program out there with live wreaths.
With live wreaths that's, that people went out to get, they cut down the boughs.
I cut a lot of tree limbs during that time frame. And then we spent hours trimming them and wiring them together.
Yes, and you know a wonderful lady, Kim Chamberlain.
Yes, absolutely.
Started that program. Yes. And we've just continued it as it grew and grew and grew.
Yes, it's just been a wonderful opportunity, and that's one of the things that makes it so unique. This is not part of Wreaths Across America. This is our local program here in our community, because the national program has a whole different set of rules and regulations. And this is labor of love from the heart in our community.
And we want to ensure that each one of our heroes has a wreath, whether their family can afford it or not. And that's why we have named our Holiday Wreaths for Heroes program, to make sure that everyone knows that each and every one of those heroes gets a wreath for the holiday season.
That's right. And if you have not been out there, even if you don't have a veteran that's in your family, we encourage you to come out there and be a part of this. Once again, it's Saturday, December 17th, at noon. At the cemetery is when the program's going to start.
But then the week before, Rob, we are busy bees out there every day from the 12th to the 16th, from 9 to 12, with snacks provided. The ladies and the guys come out, and we fluff the wreaths. They've been in containers all year.
Right.
And we fluff them up and get them good-looking again, put a new bow on them if they need it. And it's a wonderful time. And if anyone out there wants to volunteer, please call me.
Okay, what's that number?
It's 530, of course, 244-1607, and just leave a message if I'm not there. I love the volunteers.
Give us that number one more time.
530-244-1607.
And then also they can, if they need more information, or they can call the cemetery.
Yes.
And get that information there from the ladies at the cemetery.
Absolutely.
And if you don't know the number for the cemetery, it's 530-396-2447. I know that by heart. It's for so many years.
I know.
It's 396-2447. And while I was still in the Navy during that time frame from 2008 to 2013, we performed over 2,000 military funerals for the Navy, the Marine Corps, the Merchant Marines, the Coast Guard, and then backfilled also for the Air Force and for the Army. And so when you present 2,000 flags to the eyes of a widow or a widower or the children, it's such a bond, a service. I only hope that someday when my time comes, there will be somebody there to step forward and present and honor my veterans for the Iraq and Afghanistan the same way we took care of our World War II veterans. Yes. And our Korean War veterans and our Vietnam veterans that are out there.
And my husband's a Korean War vet, and he is out there.
Yes. So that makes it even more personal.
Yes.
So we're coming up on our time here right now, Charlotte. Mm-hmm. Once again, go ahead and give us this information again. Okay. And we want to make sure that people know and understand you don't have to be a veteran or a veteran family member to be there. This is our community. These are our community heroes. And this is when you see the wreaths out there and you see the fall leaves and the mountains and the snow on the top of the mountains, we call it Arlington West for a reason.
Yes.
Because it is so beautiful out there, and it is our veterans cemetery here in Northern California.
Yes, it is. And we love it. The days that we're going to be fluffing the wreath again is Monday through Friday, the 12th to the 16th, from 9 to 12 out at the cemetery. And the program itself will be the following day, the 17th of December, at noon, with a short program and then the privilege of laying the wreath.
Charlotte Bailey, thank you for being here today, Chairman for Holiday Wreaths for Heroes. And you can call a radio station or the Igo Cemetery for more information. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome.
Why do you need an updated COVID-19 booster? Because your risk of getting very sick goes up with age, and boosters can help lower the chance of severe outcomes. Visit the Wintu Cultural Tribal Center at 4755 Shasta Dam Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake on Saturday, December 3rd from 12 noon until 6:30 p.m., keeping your immunity strong. This community clinic is brought to you by the California Department of Public Health and MyTurn.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stifel Nicholas & Company, 244-7199.
The tradition continues at the Dry Creek Station at 22025 Highway 299 East in Bella Vista, featuring delicious steaks and seafood, chicken, soups, salads, and much more. The Dry Creek Station, family-owned and operated, open since 1992, serving dinner Tuesday through Sunday from 5 to 9 p.m., with happy hour from 3 to 5, and don't miss their fantastic weekend specials. The Dry Creek Station at 22025 Highway 299 East in Bella Vista. So come on down to the Dry Creek Station, where quality and value meet.
It's time to put a stop to boring Christmases, gift giving, and mass-produced items, and take a trip to Memory Lane. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage makes gift giving easy. We have something for everyone. Antique carnival glass, superhero collectibles, beautiful jewelry, vintage clothing, and best of all, it's all in one location. You don't have to break the budget this holiday season to give somebody something they'll cherish. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Good morning. Listening to Free Fire Radio. Rob Barocio with the Northern California Veterans Museum Heritage Center filling in for Carl and Linda. A great opportunity to be here and talk with some great veterans advocates that are here in our community. Great things that are taking place. And once again, we want to talk again about some of the things going on with the Veterans Service Office in Shasta County. Dave Cockrell is our American Legion advocate that is here this morning. He's also the Secretary Treasurer for the Fleet Reserve Association and the 40 and 8, which is a World War I program for World War I veterans and their families. Obviously, we don't have any World War I veterans.
No.
But the 40 and 8 is about the history and the heritage of
World War I. It used to be the Honor Society of the American Legion, and it split about 1960. And the 40 and 8 supports nurses, and that's one of the programs we have to initiate. So, yeah, the 40 and 8 is, I like to say it's still the Honor Society, but it's open to any veteran right now.
And one of the issues that we have among all of our different organizations is we're not getting enough younger veterans coming in and helping to fill the slot right. for leadership and for support that we really need that we've had in the past.
And, so, you know, all these organizations support the community. Our biggest problem is we don't go out and tell the community exactly what we do. And that's something we have to start addressing.
And so one of the issues that you want to continue talking about is the Veterans Service Office issues that we're still dealing with here in Shasta County. I have Jess Hoops with us here also, the commander for 197. But you bring a different point of view, and if you'll share some of that.
All right. One of the things that a lot of veterans, one of the issues they brought up that we don't have safe parking. We have to go out in the street. A lot of people don't realize we did have safe parking at one time. Granted, it was up by the old library. You had that steep incline, but it was off the street. Well, that was taken away from us. So now they're saying, well, we don't have safe parking. I would like to know what guarantee they're not going to do it again. They let it happen one time, and it looks like what they're doing is shoving the veterans around.
You're talking about Shasta County.
Shasta County. And it's not really the supervisor. The supervisor is the ones that authorize it at the end. I don't know if they authorize the taking of the parking upstairs like we had, but they're saying, well, we're going to have safe parking now at the new building. What guarantee can they say they're not going to have another organizer and say that we want that parking so the veterans, again, are out in the street?
When you're driving down I-5 and you come across the Tehama County, Shasta County line there in Cottonwood,
we
honor our veterans in Shasta County. That is lip service, because more and more we are finding that Shasta County is not supporting our veterans in the way that our veterans need to be supported.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we had 12 parking places in that old library parking lot, and four of those 12 were blue disabled parking, okay? All of a sudden, we get a new DA, and we've lost our parking to permit only for her staff. I mean, if you go across the street to the Black Bear, which is the new place they want to put us, we have to share that building with one of their welfare programs. And who's to say that the clientele for the welfare department is going to, you know, consume that all parking lot?
Oh, one thing. I think the health department's moving out, but they're moving two other departments in there in that place of the health department.
Right. Yes. And so we're concerned that nobody's thinking this stuff through.
Well, there's no guarantee. It's just it's a rough idea.
Right. And so when we went to that town hall meeting on the 9th of November, we were told that they want to move us because the building is not ADA compliant. That they needed to, you know, make everything bigger and better and, you know, all ADA. Well, that building, when it was refurbished, was done under the ADA. We know that for a fact.
And now they've taken that away.
And they're trying to... They're trying to take the building that we're in now away, and we're told it's because the DA wants to put a law library downstairs or expand her staff, and we can't get the straight of none of it. Nobody's talking. It's like Secret Squirrel has landed in Shasta County, and he's playing. He's not working to help us. He's playing.
Right.
So we need answers. We'd like to have answers before any vote from the Board of Supervisors concerning all of this. We'd like to sit down with the Board of Supervisors themselves and hash this out, veteran group to supervisors, and figure out what is true, what isn't true, where do we go from here, and how do we fix things.
So we have a program called Shasta County Veterans Affiliate Council, CVAC.
Right.
And so Debbie Johnson is the new chairperson of that program. And she will be on with us here in the next half hour, and some of those questions we'll bring up, and we'll talk to her.
Well, they voted
about putting together all of our different veterans organizations as a single voice.
Right, and so we, the CVAC meeting that I just attended, we voted not to support the code change in the county code that would change our department head to a manager. And the rest of it, we've kind of voted to say, okay, let's see what you're offering and how you're going to do this. But
there was other alternatives, right. Buildings. They wanted to go out and not just add that one building, but other sites.
Well, they're saying they're strapped in money too, Rob. Question is, it's going to cost $500,000 to $700,000 to renovate that building across the street.
Well, the building is working for the veterans community right now.
Right.
If it's not broken, why do they want to fix it?
I have no idea.
Because they want to fix it in their favor.
Right.
I mean, that's the only answer to the question at this point.
Right.
Because since they can't come up with anything that's in writing or that's purposeful for veterans,
right,
that means they're kicking it around the bush because they don't have a solid answer.
Well, here's the other thing now. They said, well, you know, people are sitting outside in the rain and in the sun waiting. Why? They got a big lobby.
Right.
Well, actually,
the only thing I can think of is that they don't open till 8:30 in the morning.
Right. People are waiting to get first in line.
Right.
You can't make an appointment
and
there.
Why can't you?
Because that's what they've chosen. They don't want to make an appointment for
and,
you.
And that needs to change. That appointment system, when Jim Young was there, I used to get appointments with Jim, and I'd go down and do my claim, okay? Now, I've got leukemia and Agent Orange like you wouldn't believe, and I needed help. And I got it from Jim Young in the Veterans Service office, and I was able to make appointment then. Now, let me ask you this. If you're closed at 8:30... and you're closed from 12 to 1, and then you're closed at 4 o'clock, where's your work day?
Well, and then you can complain because people are sitting around waiting.
Right, exactly.
Because you created a sit-around waiting situation, and then you're using it as an excuse.
Right.
Hey, our veterans are sitting around waiting.
Right.
Because they're waiting on the government dime.
Right. And so I won't support any of this until I have better answers. And my members, Dave included, agree with that. Why fix it if it ain't broke? But there's a couple of things that are broke and could use fixing.
Right. Well, there's always something that can be improved.
Right.
But not the entire system kicked out with the baby with the bathwater.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. What their main issue they're saying is the reason they're saying it is the lobby's too small. During COVID and having 6 feet apart, granted, it is too small.
Well, everywhere was too small.
Right. The other thing is there's no safe parking because now all the veterans, even with walkers or wheelchairs, they have to park out in the street. Well, those are two issues, and we just discussed there was safe parking. Granted, it was an incline, but there was safe parking. You didn't have to park out in the street. They took that away from us. So that my whole concern, yes, there's what, 9 spaces in the back where the new building. What guarantee can they give that they're not going to do the same thing?
Right.
And there's none.
So
and that's one of the biggest issues.
And where are they coming up the money to do the, you know, everybody's screaming for funds, you know?
And they're saying there's not enough money for the Veterans Service Office.
Right.
And then, like you said, they want to do a $500,000 upgrade
across
the street.
Right. And where are they coming up with that money?
It's the convenience. The sheriff
is crying for money. The DA is crying for money. Public Works is crying for money. They got a special tree because I need some of that.
Well, the only thing that I can think of is that they're taking some of the federal grant money that's coming from the feds for the Veterans Service Office, and they're using that in a different manner instead of the manner it's supposed to be used for.
And see, when we had our town hall meeting, I brought up those grants at the meeting, and I was told that there's nothing available. Well, I know there is from VA, and right. I know there is from CalVet.
Right,
and
from the state
the only effects. The only thing that they addressed was the CalVet reimbursements. And that was minuscule compared to what the county actually gets, you know, has outlaid. They said it was, what, $790,000?
Yeah, the CalVet is what?
30 or 80,000.
100 to 80 or something like that.
Yeah. Thousand. It was minuscule. It was like maybe a quarter or less than a quarter of the budget.
We're coming up on our final minute.
You have to understand, the CalVet is split out through all the counties in California.
$11 million split between 54 counties. That's nothing.
That's one of the things the veterans organizations goes down, making sure that California doesn't cut that budget. That's why it's important to have veterans join veterans organizations, because I know that AMVETS, American Legion, and VFW goes down there and fights for those funds. And the more members we have, the more voice we have in those proceedings.
Gentlemen, we're down to our last 30 seconds. In the next half hour, we'll have, once again, Debbie Johnson here from the CVAC, Shasta County Veterans Affiliate Council. And we'll go ahead and direct some of these questions to her and utilize her as a point of reference for more information
right. And
to get some answers. And we invite all of our veterans to be a part of one of our programs in our community, whichever one you want to be a part of, AMVETS, American Legion, VFW, and your voice needs to be heard now more than any other time.
We are having a final vote coming up on December 6th at the Board of Supervisors. We need veterans to show up and voice their concerns over all the, I want to say, issues that are arising momentarily, you know?
Right.
Start talking. Start yelling at them.
Well, if we don't voice our opinion, it's our own fight.
That's right.
Silence is consent, and we don't.
Well, I'm not a consenting individual.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio. Rob Burrows, your host. We'll be right back.
Dark and door, the blues won't haunt you anymore. For the brave are free and lovers soar. Come ride with me to the distant shore.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley with BNC Satellite. Are you ready to get a head start on this season's infamous wish list? Then it's about time you do something different this holiday season. If you can't see the difference, why pay the difference? Switch to Dish this holiday season for a great deal. Call BNC Satellite at 241-DISH. That's 241-3474.
From all of us at BNC Satellite, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Call me, Doug Tooley, 241-DISH, that's 241-3474, or visit us on the internet at btsatellite.com.
B&T Satellite is a DISH authorized retailer. Restrictions apply. Ask for details.
CastaBeam is happy to announce that we have finally added 20 gigabits of new bandwidth services for our North State customers. Hi folks, this is Andy Main from CastaBeam Internet, bringing you news about our upgraded internet services. It took some time, but these new higher speeds mean you can work, study, and stream from home without the problems of slow internet. And these redundant services are faster, more reliable, and fulfilling our promise to deliver better internet every day to you. And right now, new customers get installed for free. That's right, free installation services mean you can try it for free, and if you're not satisfied, you don't pay. That's a savings of over $700 compared to some of our competition's startup costs. And there's no data caps or long-term contracts. All of our services come with a 14-day money-back guarantee. Call ShastaBeam today and ask for our free installation services. This is Andy Main, thanking you for your business, and don't worry, we'll keep the internet on for you.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already, we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high-priced winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Hey, KCNR listeners, it's Nathan with the Reading Civic Auditorium. Have you been to ReadingCivic.com lately? I want to shout out huge thanks to all of our patrons throughout the North State who buy tickets to our shows and attend the valuable community events that happen in the auditorium every year. These past 10 years of momentum have been absolutely incredible. Thanks to all of you. Your support and confidence in Advance Reading has made the impossible possible. As a community who knows how to pull together and show ourselves strong, we have successfully attracted high-quality entertainers and major concert promoters back into the building and put your Reading Civic Auditorium on the map once again. Arts and entertainment culture is thriving, and we have much to celebrate. Never miss a show again. Visit ReadingCivic.com and sign up for our emails for exclusive pre-sale access. We have an unbelievable lineup with new shows being added all the time. Hit ReadingCivic.com today. You'll be glad you did. Shows are always more fun at the Civic.
Good morning. I'm Rob Burrows, your host this morning. We have had a heated morning talking about issues with Shasta County and our veterans here in our community. It is a highway to the danger zone when you start bringing all these issues together and talking about them and trying to figure out what the solution is to the problem that's out there. And where does the problem begin and where does the problem end? And so when we don't get a clear voice from our leadership and our community, then there's speculation, there's questions, there's what ifs, why ifs, how comes. And so probably what we need more than anything is a clear direction of leadership from Shasta County Board of Supervisors so that our veterans in our community are not guessing, but they know exactly what's taking place. This morning, my guest, Debbie Johnson, she is the chairperson for Shasta County Veterans Affiliate Council. We call it CVAC. And this is a program where all of our different leadership and heads come together from our different veterans organizations, and they have a voice together in the community to be able to reach out to individuals such as the Board of Supervisors and or other issues in our community so that our veterans' voices can be heard. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning, Rob. Thanks for having me. It's not new to me. I've been with CVAC for many years as a participant from the AMVETS Ladies Auxiliary. I am their representative, and it's the AMVETS Veterans Post and our national
the representation from AMVETS in our community.
Correct. That allows our auxiliary to also be accredited here. So, first of all, I'll read our mission statement. CVAC was created to enhance and protect the rights and interests of veterans and dependents through the creation of a county-sponsored umbrella organization to unify the veteran community. CVAC actively supports programs benefiting veterans and their families, community programs that honor veterans and their service to our nation, and advances veteran-related legislative interests. That's been the most important part of some of what we do is our legislative interests, because, as we all know from what we've just heard, the lawmakers have a big effect on our veterans. And so we have to speak up. We've been speaking up since the end of World War I. Veterans have been the ones speaking for veterans. And it breaks my heart sometimes when a community doesn't understand that, or they say they understand that, and then they act differently.
You know, one of the things I think that are that we're seeing that nobody brings to the plate is we have more and more leadership in our communities that did not serve in the United States military at any given point in their lives. They don't know what it's like to serve, literally, in a military, in an organization.
Correct.
Or overseas in a combat situation, or 6 months away from their family out to sea, or some other duty station in the middle of nowhere, and when you talk to these individuals, there's no correlation. There is no relationship between what the veterans are saying and requesting and those individuals who are in charge that literally have no clue.
I find that to be true to a point as well. Our council is open to all veteran organizations. They can come and we can speak as one voice, as we did when we took the vote that Jess was talking about earlier. That was the interest of the room. That was the consensus of the room. We are focused on the county code, and we're focused on a better location for the Shasta County Veterans Service office.
Have you ever had the county reach out to you for the CVAC organization and say, hey, we'd like to come and talk to you and just kind of see how we could be a benefit between the veterans and the Board of Supervisors at the CVAC level, not at the big open door level, but at the grassroots, because that's what CVAC is. It's the veterans grassroots organization in Shasta County.
The person who understood that and called when he found out that I was the new president of CVAC is Mr. Minturn. He actually called and spoke with me, and then I met him later when he was meeting with someone else at the Veterans Hall. So there, he understands that this organization is who should be speaking for the veterans in unity, as our mission statement says, for our rights, our livelihood. What is most important here is service availability for veterans, accountability. As long as the veterans are being served, I'm happy. But if there's something in the way of that, we have to have a location. Until there's a new location, they're where they are now. They're not moving out of there until there's a new location.
And there's no particular problems there either.
No. Well, there is if you have more than two or three people in a wheelchair show up at one time.
Give it.
That lobby is not large enough. There are issues with the location. So when there's a new location, which we hope to have more input into, that is a great concern for our handicapped and elderly veterans. So, and the other thing is, they have to be able to be comfortable to be able to speak to the service office representatives. We have great training. I really believe that our service officers in our county that we still have, our service reps, are well trained. They know. And it's just a matter of now, if there's that few, you just indicated there's only two. I think there might be a little more than that, but that's a big load for them because there's a lot of new issues coming up with the burn pits, with all the new things that are now part of what a veteran can get services for.
And if they're concerned about the instability of the office and the relationship with Shasta County, then that affects their capability to do their job also.
Absolutely.
And that's reflected on the veteran that's in need, because that veteran in need needs 100% of their attention to be able to meet the resources and the responsibilities to help them through the situation they're in.
So that's what CVAC is, and my goal is for CVAC, that I believe every single organization, American Legion, VFW, AMVETS, the museum, the Healing Waters, all of us that are members of CVAC and others that are not, that we want services available for our veterans. And so far, Shasta County Board of Supervisors have been on top of that. We have the most money coming in services for, to, directly to our veterans. I believe in at least high enough in our, as a county here in Shasta.
Deb, we're down to our last 30 seconds, but I'm going to keep you over through the next hour because we're going to talk with your husband, Tom, also. And okay. So if you have a parting statement as we come up on our last few minutes, our seconds, I should say.
Veterans are the most important people on this planet to me. And I'll be in the fight. So treat them well and give them the services that they deserve. And let CVAC help.
Debbie Johnson, Shasta County Veterans Affiliate Council Chairperson. Thank you for being here. We're going to talk some more on the other side. You're listening to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 96.5.
I could. Oh, no, there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
As part of Operation Holiday Salute, Redding Kia would like to express their gratitude to all of our veterans and those currently enlisted for the service to our country. Stop by Redding Kia and see their exciting new lineup of fuel-saving hybrids, like the 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid, the 2023 Kia Sportage Hybrid, and the 2023 Kia Sorento Hybrid. All come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Happy holidays from Redding Kia. RedingKia.com. KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
This holiday season, join the all-new tradition of lights and festivities for the entire family at Redding Garden of Lights. Presented by Mercy Medical Center Redding. Open now through January 8th at Turtle Bay's McConnell Botanical Gardens at the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California. Explore over 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens featuring over 1 million lights, plus holiday-themed food, drinks, music, and so much more. Redding Garden of Lights at Turtle Bay. Buy tickets now at turtlebay.org.
Shasta College is now offering 2 years of free tuition for full-time students. The Shasta College Promise Program is perfect for that returning student looking to complete a degree or a certificate. Spring semester begins January 17th. Advance your career, learn a new skill, or get transfer ready this year. Shasta College offers more 8-week compressed, fully online, or in-person classes available to easily fit your schedule. Classes fill quickly. Enroll at ShastaCollege.edu today or give us a call. The opportunity of a lifetime is now.
I will always do my duty, no matter what the price. I've counted up the cost. I know the sacrifice. Oh, and I don't want to die for you. But if dying's asking me, I'll bear that cross with honor. Cause freedom don't come free. I'm an American soldier, an American.
Good morning, Rob Burrows from the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center here, and I am surrounded by a fantastic company. You know, the individual we've been talking to this morning, Debbie Johnson, is the secretary for the Northern California Veterans Museum. Dave Cockrell is a board member on the board of directors. Michelle Kristoff is part of our Homeward Bound program on the board of directors. Tom Johnson, who we're going to be talking with just a minute, he is the vice president for the Northern California Veterans Museum. These people are key elements, and they're leaders in our community helping and take care of our veterans. Michelle, tell us really fast again what's about our Homeward Bound program coming up this week.
So it's actually next week. We are doing our Christmas for the Troops. We're packing up about 250 boxes that we're going to be shipping overseas. It's going to be at the VFW Hall in Anderson at the Veterans Event Center. It's 3210 West Center Street in Anderson. And it's going to be from 6 o'clock until we're done. Last year, we did everything in about an hour and a half because we had a really good crew. So we just don't plan to be there as long if we have a lot of people.
If you can support the program financially to help ship a box or show up and pack a box, we'd love to be able to have you there that night.
And then there's a list on Facebook and more details about the event on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/piledriver13.
All right. Thank you very much. Next guest, Tom Johnson, who is, once again, he's the vice president for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, but he is the one of the national chairmen for AMVETS for the foundation here in California, along with working with our AMVETS program here in Shasta County. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Rob.
Tell us about your program.
Well, we're, my program is one of them things. I've been in AMVETS for many years and have worked my way through the Department of California with several different positions. And 4 years ago, I was elected to be on the board of directors of the AMVETS Department of California Service Foundation. The Service Foundation is an integral part of AMVETS, and is what we do is we employ about 15 service officers. We conduct the training, and they're certified service officers, and they represent AMVETS throughout California. They're in, 15 different cities.
So these are independent. They're not county VSOs. These are from
AMVETS
only.
Service officers, but they are trained by the VA just like a county service officer. And like I said, they're situated throughout California. That's only part of it. Those service officers all have service representatives also that do the claims. And so we have a pretty good cadre of service officers that are helping veterans. One of the things in my goal, as I'm now the president of the Service Foundation, have been for almost a year now, and we're one of our goals is to get a service officer right here in Reading at the clinic. And the process is already in the works. We have been okayed to by the clinic here. And the thing now is we're training a service officer.
So that would be in conjunction with the county or standalone?
It'll be a standalone. They're not in competition. Because, I mean, we have veterans out there.
We're helping veterans.
That need benefits, and that's what the service officer does. And he, we have also several other programs going on at the Service Foundation, mainly to raise the funds to pay for, because we employ these service officers. And we have a program much like your
Homeward Bound
called Welcome Home. It's the same type deal. We furnish all the furnishings for a new veteran that has just moved into a house, mostly coming off the streets. And they move them into a new house, home, apartment, whatever. We furnish it. Everything that they need, we will furnish.
That's quite a program.
Yeah, it's quite a program.
Does AMVETS do that in Shasta County also?
No, we are looking at a possibility of doing that in the future, and possibly partnering with your Homeward Bound.
And that would be fantastic because we're already a partnership with Shasta County AMVETS. And everybody sitting at the table is a life member here of AMVETS.
Yes.
And so we support that program, and the program helps support the museum in its efforts as we move forward in our community to honor our veterans also.
The our main fundraiser, we have presently we have four thrift stores, mostly in Southern California. Do have one in Fresno, and we're working on one in Sacramento. if we can get one in Sacramento, we can actually move north from there. But, and I'm almost right in the process right now of opening a new store in Oceanside. It takes a lot of money to do something like that, but the thrift stores create enough money back to the foundation to pay for all the employees that the Service Foundation has.
Now, the Veterans Museum has been trying to get a thrift store open for a year now. We've had some complications left and right that we've been dealing with, but people donate all the time to the program, and the program does raise money and pay the bills for the facility right now. It's just we don't have enough manpower or room to move forward. Lord, we outgrew the walls literally within a month. And so, which is, it's not a bad problem to have. It's a logistics problem.
Right. We, our stores are, probably 3/4 the size of the new Costco. So they're not,
they're not little
stores.
Right.
And they generate quite a bit of funds. And also, some of the funds also go to support AMVETS, the Department of California, which in turn support the programs that each of our posts have.
Well, that's a fantastic program. So as we're talking about AMVETS now, AMVETS also, once again, it's a national program.
Right.
It's not just a
California
chartered program.
Yeah, and that was the word that Debbie was trying to come up with earlier, that the CVAC is made up of all the nationally chartered organizations by Congress. They also represent the state chartered programs, because there's a lot of small organizations that are just in California.
Right.
And as long as the state of California charters them, they can belong to CVAC.
Now, with the foundation, with AMVETS, they not only take care of the veteran service program, but and that you said they take care of the homeless veteran issue with facilitating all the items coming into a new home or a new place to live or something along those lines.
Right. Our thrift, like you said, our thrift stores get... I was going to say buku.
Inundated.
Sorry about that. We get a lot of donations. And our employees go through the donations, and they pull out anything that is new or usable to go to the veterans. And we also have the programs to furnish stuff for the veterans that are on the street.
Right.
We have, I mean, there's a lot of veterans out there, and that's one of our goals, is to get them off the street and into some kind of facility, and we have the furnishings to help them get started.
And that's a major issue. We constantly have veterans that are coming to us, and if we have those items to help them with, we support them, and we donate those items to the veterans that are in need. And so they're not charged for those items, whether they're wheelchairs or their beds or bed frames or a refrigerator. Our biggest problem is we don't have enough room.
Right.
We're busting at the seams, literally, which is it's a blessing, and it's a good thing to have happening in our community. But we need more room to be more effective with everything that's taking place. And so,
well, I wish you'd hurry up and get that museum built.
Well, you know, we're working with Shasta County, we're working with the state of California, and the bureaucracy is terrible, and people think, oh, well, nothing's happening. That couldn't be further from the truth. Every single day we're responding to letters, we're working with meetings with engineers, with water engineers, with electrical engineers, with the county, Ken Henderson, and environmental health issues, or we just can't seem to get solutions to the problems or a solid answer so that we can create a solution to the problems. And so it's very frustrating as we move forward. But we are successful in everything that we've done, and we really appreciate the opportunity. And I want to say thank you to all of you for being here, Dave, and to Debbie, and to Michelle and Tom for being here this morning.
Last word.
Okay.
All right. It is important for anyone who served in the armed forces to join a veterans organization. Also, for these veterans organizations to join CVAC. You're seeing right here where voices count in the community. Well, your voice not only counts in the community, it counts in the state and in the U.S. government.
Congress. We're stronger together.
It's important that you join.
And what? A pencil can be broken, but a handful of
pencils
can't be broken.
Yeah.
And that's what we need. We need all these veterans to come together so we can be a strong voice in this county. You've been listening to Free Fire Radio, Rob Burrows, Northern California Veterans Museum, and all of the staff that are here this morning, thank you for being here. Thank you for what you do for all.